Dear friends, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us once again this week. And in this week's Gnostic Lab of Practical Application, we're going to be working with the development of the faculty of telepathy. Now, telepathy is nothing more than the ability to perceive at a distance. And this is a wonderful faculty to develop. We must say as with any other faculty, whenever we still carry the ego, and for as long as we continue carrying all of these considerations and fears, insecurities, thoughts of superiority, etc., etc., well, every time that we receive information, the ego will do what it always does, which is to misconstrue the information that it is getting. And of course, it tends to lead us into problems. Because the moment that we receive these perceptions, the receiving of the perception is pure. Exactly like when you touch something that is hot, or when you caress something that is soft, or you smell something that is enticing. You see, the perception itself is pure. What happens once that sensation is digested by the ego is a completely different thing. And when we have people who, for example, are capable of starting awakening their faculty of clairvoyance, well, they have the ability to see certain things, but on the low side of that, even though they are perceiving that with that eye that is not of the flesh, they do not know how to interpret it. And there have been many cases of people who see, for example, their neighbor fornicating with their wives, or they see somebody attacking and hurting somebody physically, and not knowing if those images that they are seeing, if they are indeed of the present moment, or if they are from previous lives. Well, people start talking and then they create conflict. And there have been many friendships, just as there have been marriages that have been damaged because of the intervention of people who do not know how to properly digest these faculties. So, what we intend to do here is to show you three distinct practices. We're going to put to use one tonight. Three distinct practices that would allow you to work to awaken this faculty. And because this gnosis is all associated to the internal work, as you put it into practice, you receive, you digest, and you slowly build certainty to the point where you, at some point, will know when is it that if it's necessary that you may be able to talk about these things. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about where is it that is this organ for the faculty of telepathy. Because everybody has experienced telepathy at some point or another. You know, have you ever found that you are walking down the street or you are at the supermarket and all of a sudden you come across someone and you tell them, I was just thinking about you? That happens because the two of you have been connected telepathically, and those psychological aggregates have then set the right conditions so that the right conditions have been set for those aggregates to come together and satisfy whatever is that the cosmic law of recurrence has stated that must be fulfilled. And this happens more often than not. In other cases, there are people who say, you know what, I was just about to say that. There has been a connection right there. And as the two of you connect and are able to perceive remotely the thoughts of one another, well, then that becomes manifest. And if you have ever heard somebody who has said, you know, we always think alike. We're like sisters. We're so in sync. That may be associated as well to the faculty of telepathy. And this is a faculty that is indeed very, very powerful. And it is active. What happens is that we are not necessarily aware of it. You know, Samael shares in his books that when it comes to the law of recurrence, if in one life you at the age of 30 decided to have a to get into a fight or a fist fight with somebody else, what will happen is that in the next life, at the age of 30, those egos would be in telepathic communication, and they will be pretty much perceiving each other to the point in which they bring themselves about together. And so that you have an idea of what happens, it is common, perhaps you have experienced this as well, that you say, you know, I had to be there and I don't know why, but I just trusted it and I went. That is one of those conditions where potentially it is the faculty of telepathy that is guiding you there to enable the manifestations of the law of recurrence. And as people seem to at times bounce in life from one place to the other, eventually, well, they come together with other people, and you may either manifest that fight. It is a new unit of time, so it would be right then and there for whoever is capable to maintain the remembrance of self, to avoid the conflict, learn from it, and move on. Or if not, to just repeat the event together with its consequences, the good ones and the bad ones. And this is why Samael emphasizes so much that we have to work on the elimination of these inferior aspects of us. Because he says, if the actors are not there, the dramas cannot play out. So as we work on eliminating these defects, then we start scraping away from our path all of these other previous sour circumstances and conditions that then generate all of these events. So if you have ever manifested any one of these things, you have seen right then and there the effect of telepathy. And the place in the body where we receive those thoughts of others, where we can perceive them, is right there at the level of the solar plexus. You know, the solar plexus is in within your abdominal cavity, around three fingers above the navel. And this particular chakra is located not in the front of the body, but towards the back, at the level of the navel, in the region of the spine. But for us to understand that and perceive it well, three fingers above the navel, shifted a little bit towards your left in the area of your pancreas. And the chakra that is here, different than what is portrayed artistically in most places, that the chakras just carry the spectrum of colors of the rainbow. This chakra is not green, or this chakra is not yellow, or this chakra is of a gray color. And the color gray is very, it's that of the clouds when we have a cloudy sky and it is getting ready to rain. That is the gray color of the chakra. This particular chakra manifests 10 rays. When it is fully developed in the current condition in which we are, it is only manifesting 5 rays. And being located in the area of the abdomen, the solar plexus, it has influence over each and every one of our digestive functions. So it has influence over the pancreas, it has influence over the liver, it has influence even over our kidneys, over all of the organs that have something to do with nutrition and excretion. It influences the menstrual flow, and it even influences the sense of sight. And Samael tells us, if you can awaken this particular chakra, you will not be able to suffer from illnesses or sickness of the stomach, or illnesses or other ailments of the liver. So certainly very favorable for us to work on this particular one. But this chakra is also known as one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Those seven churches that are mentioned in that book written by the Apostle John are corresponding themselves with the seven chakras of the human body. Because the book of Revelation speaks of the seven churches of Asia. And in the many incorrect translations that have been done to the Bible, the many edits that it has gone through, the word Asia, correctly written A-S-S-I-A-H, Asiach, it has been simplified to Asia, ASIA. So when people read that book with those incorrect translations, they tend to believe that these are physical churches, temples that exist somewhere in the Middle East. And there is nothing farther from the truth in this particular case. The word Asiach, Assiah, it means substance. It means and stands for the realm of substance. So the churches of Asiach are the ones that manifest within the philosophical earth, and that is our physical body. Those seven churches are the seven chakras. And in the book of Revelation, particularly in chapter 2, verses 12 to 17, you're welcome to take note of that. Again, this is Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. It is there where the Apostle John writes the message to the church of Pergamum, because that is the name of that chakra in the Holy Scriptures. And you will notice that it says, "The one who holds the sharp two-edged sword says this: I know where you live. Satan's throne is there. Yet you hold on to my name and have not denied your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed in your presence, where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you." And here is the deep content that is of a lot of relevance to us for this particular practice. "You have there some who hold to the teachings of Balaam, the one who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel so that they would eat food sacrificed to the idols and practice immorality." This is the first thing that the Spirit of God has against that particular church and the aggregates that feed themselves from all of those strong emotions that we experience. Because it is here in the solar plexus where we see the manifestation of fire. This is exactly why whenever you feel angry, you can feel that fire immediately burning. This is so deeply ingrained in the collective subconsciousness that even to children, as they are learning to play sports, particularly contact sports, the coaches will tell them and scream at them by saying, "You need to get angry. You need to get angry so that you can hit him hard." You see, they're trying to evoke and pull out force and strength directly from the fires that exist in that chakra so that the guy can be a little bit more aggressive. So it's no surprise that the symbol that represents this particular chakra is that of a ram. A ram, similar to the symbol of Aries, because the ram symbolizes that high degree of aggressiveness. So, two things that I have against you. And the first one is that you are holding on to the teachings of Balaam. And those teachings of Balaam have to do with sexual immorality. And they also have to do, this is why the apostle, as he writes, he says that you would put a stumbling block before the people of Israel. Israel is not the people who live next to the Mediterranean Sea. Israel is a compound word of East. Those of you who have gone through the lectures on the esoteric treatise on the magic of runes, you have learned that there is a rune called East. It is the rune of the Divine Mother. And Isis is a representation of the Divine Mother itself. So here we have Is as the Divine Mother. We have Ra as the Solar Father, Isra, and then El, which is another Hebrew word that stands for God. So Israel speaks for those divine beings that have become divine androgens. Israel is a name for all those who have been quote-unquote selected because they have been able to transcend from their human condition into that of the absolute human, the one who has achieved that perfect balance between the mind and the spirit. So that is very symbolic. So put a stumbling block before the people of Israel, a stumbling block before the people who have been working intently and diligently and then internal transformation, and you have led them to fall. And that is through sexual immorality. And then it also says, so that they would eat food sacrificed to idols. That food has to do with nourishment. And we have learned in our many previous lectures that there are three sources of nourishment for us. Number one, the food that we consume through our mechanical digestive system. The air that we breathe that goes through an impression in the lungs, and we extract both the oxygen that we need. We exhale every gas that the body no longer needs. And of course, we also absorb prana, which is that substance that infuses life in everything that exists. And the third one is the nourishment that comes from the impressions. That is the nourishment that comes to the mind. So eating food sacrificed to idols are all of those impressions that do not get adequately digested and that lead us into confusion. You see, they take us down the path of being identified with the appearance of the thing and then reacting to it rather than raising our consciousness to the level of the circumstances and filtering that so that we can contemplate the internal reactions, comprehend them, and work diligently towards the elimination of that inferior aspect of us. So that is the first thing. You have held on to the teaching of Balaam. We already know eating food, sacrifice to the idols, and immorality, the sexual immorality in particular. And the second one is that it says in verse 15, you also have some who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans, or Nicolaitans. This is a difficult word for me. Hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. And these teachings have to do with convincing others and subduing others in ways that can be emotional, intellectual, or physical. So two things that come out of the strength that exists within our solar plexus, and these are two things that manifest when those forces are used in a way that is negative and inferior. When we are seeking to influence and convince others, that has to do with those teachings of the Nicolaitans. When we are seeking to convince others so that they don't change their mind and they just follow suit to what we're saying, that has to do with the teachings of the Nicolaitans. When we are also responding, reacting constantly to the external impressions, that is certainly misuse of those energies. And when we just continue falling into the space of sexual immoralities, whether it is of thought, or emotion, or actual practice, that's there as well. So now you have a way deeper knowledge of this particular chakra that exists in our solar plexus. This chakra characterizes itself because it attracts and it accumulates radiant energy from the sun. And at night, all that energy is accumulated in the spleen, and at night, as the physical body is resting and you unfold in your astral body, consciously or unconsciously, the ethereal body will take of that energy and will distribute it throughout the body. That energy goes into the different glands of the endocrine system, stimulating them to produce and generate certain hormones, maintaining certain concentrations of those neurotransmitters within the physical body, and helping restore it. So now it perhaps makes a lot more sense. Why is it that when you were younger, your grandparents would have told you that for you to be healthy, it was good for you to spend time outside and get some sunlight? Now it is perhaps easier to understand why is it that this thing called vitamin D that is induced by the sun is so critical for us. And people who live in areas like the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, or in the Northeast, as we walk into the season of winter, that the days become shorter and that there is less sun, more clouds, people start suffering from these effects of not having available the sunlight that they need. And it is all an effect that is manifested right there because of that particular zone and its functions. So what we will do is that now that we know where is it that we receive the thoughts of others, now that we know how this particular solar plexus is associated to our digestive processes, now that we know how is it that this is the the zone in the body that absorbs that solar light and distributes it so that it can help satisfy all the functions of the body. Samael gives us then three distinct practices so that we can develop this particular center to its to its utmost capability. So the first one has to do with the visualization of a golden cross. In the mornings, as you wake up early just to do your practices, a very good practice is to walk outside and face east as the sun is rising. And by sitting comfortably on a chair, just fully relax your physical body, contemplate the rising of the sun and use your objective imagination so that you can see that at the center of the sun that there is a radiant golden cross. And to use that objective imagination to see the projection of the light out of that golden cross reaching directly into your solar plexus and depositing in there those divine rays. Now, we cannot just think that this is fantasy. We know very well that there is a big difference between mechanical ideas and the use of objective imagination, because objective imagination is indeed clairvoyance. And as of recent, we have also learned, how is it that the sun has a direct influence over the psyche of man as much as the planets and the constellations have their own influences over our psyche and our personality? So we will wake up early in the morning and we will sit comfortably on a chair facing east. We will contemplate the rising of the sun. And as we are contemplating that, we will use our faculty of clairvoyance to see that there is a golden cross at the center of that radiant disk and that it is irradiating divine rays that can be received by our solar plexus. As we continue with this practice, we will allow you to experience the results on your own. Okay, good. The next one is the chanting of the mantra U. This is the letter U. Samael says you can either practice it, the letter U, and the second practice out of that is with the N at the end, so that you can bring in the effect of like ringing a bell when you are chanting the mantra. Now, to make use of these two practices, whether it's the mantra U or the mantra UN, it is important that we face east as well. Notice that the east is very important because this is the region in the hemisphere through which the sun rises. And what we will do is that facing east, we will use our objective imagination to see this magnetic center, the chakra, rotating clockwise. Samael says from left to right, as it is spinning. So we will see it rotating clockwise, and we will see from our chakra the emanation of rays of light. Knowing that this chakra is gray, we will see that there is a light emitting out of it that is blue in color, and one light that is gold in color. And with that, we will chant the mantra U. To chant these mantras, we will breathe in deeply through the nose, and we will dedicate the whole exhalation for the chanting of that particular vowel. And once we are done, we take a brief pause, we inhale once again, and we continue repeating this exercise, consistently maintaining that exercise in objective visualization. If at some point you lose your state of relaxation, you invoke of your divine being and you ask, Divine Father, we ask of you, we beg of you, that you restore our last state of relaxation. And it will manifest. Continue with that visualization and continue chanting the mantra. So for the, we have 34 minutes left before the end of the lecture. This practice is one that Samael recommends to be practiced 30 minutes. You are welcome to stay for the whole duration of the 30 minutes as you choose. And if you happen to have any other family commitment that is pressing on you, practice a little bit with us so that you can get a good feel for it and then practice again on your own time. So let's go ahead and let's relax our physical body. Let's go ahead and sitting comfortably on a chair. Let's adjust ourselves so that we can face east. to make some changes here. And now that we are facing east, with our eyes closed and our feet on the floor, we're going to relax our physical body, making use of the projections of our pulse. So let's take a deep breath in one. Two. One. Two. One. And let's allow our physical body to gently sink into the chair. We will continue breathing in through our nose and out through our nose. And we say, Divine Father, Father of mine, you who are my true being, my internal God, we ask of you, we beg of you with our soul and our heart. That you lead us through this particular practice. We ask that you make very vivid for us the faculty of clairvoyance, so that we may become able to see and experience of these mysteries, and that we may not be just distracted with the appearance of the thing, but to contemplate the phenomena of the thing itself. With that, let's go ahead and project the pulsations of our heart, and let's project them to the tip of our nose. As we feel those gentle pulsations manifested at the very tip of our nose, let's go ahead and transition them from our nose onto our right ear. as we may experience that warmth that comes from those palpitations in our right ear, we limit ourselves to experience them with gratitude, and we move on to project them from our right ear onto our right hand. As we feel those pulsations in our right hand, we limit ourselves to experience satisfaction. And with that, we project then those palpitations from our right hand onto our right foot. It is always enjoyable to experience in alert perception the feeling of how those palpitations slowly fade away and dissipate from one location to gently and effortlessly start manifesting themselves in another. And as we experience them in our right foot, we bring our attention to the sensations in the physical body. And we can slowly see how the right-hand side of our body is inundated by a very gentle vibration that comes with that relaxation. And we experience that with gratitude and gratefulness. And we continue on and transition those heartbeats from our right foot into our left foot. We are observant of our breathing, and we seek to breathe in such a way that the intake and the exhalation of air becomes perfectly silent, completely effortless. And with that, we start seeing that each exhalation becomes deeper. And that with every exhalation, the physical body itself settles down each time so much more comfortably on the chair. And thus we continue on by transitioning then those palpitations from our left foot onto our left hand. We greet those palpitations in our left hand with great satisfaction. And we continue on and transition them from our left hand onto our left ear. And from a left ear, we transition them back onto the tip of our nose. Take a moment to make yourself aware of the sensation of relaxation throughout all your physical body. Together we may say, Divine Father, we give you infinite thanks for this opportunity. We ask of you and we beg of you that in the moment that we lose the sensation of relaxation, whether now in the practice, or during moments of joy or difficult moments in the upcoming days, that you remind us of the ability to invoke of your name to bring back instantaneously this sensation so that we may become more able to listen and contemplate. And now using our objective imagination, we will see that radiant disk that exists within our solar plexus. Three fingers above the navel and towards the left in the area of the pancreas. We can use our objective imagination to see that this disk vibrates and spins and is of a gray color. And that it irradiates two distinct rays of light, one that is blue and one that is yellow. The color blue is always associated with the highest spirituality. It is always associated with love. It is also associated with the night. And it is also associated with the cosmic force of the Christ. The color yellow is always related to the creative forces of the Holy Spirit. As we can see these rays of light, we maintain that objective visualization without any strain. We simply contemplate it and chant the mantra, Om. Ooh. Be persistent with your objective visualization. See your chakra spin and see those rays of blue and yellow light. Ooh. maintaining the remembrance of self. Let's take a deep breath in one. Two. Make yourself aware of the gentle vibration that exists at the level of your solar plexus. Tonight, as you retire for the day, bring with yourself your Gnostic journal into bed. And tomorrow morning as you wake up, make an effort to not move the body. Stay in bed the moment that you awake and do a brief retrospective exercise. Make an effort to remember everything that you see, that you hear, that you experience within the astral realm. And take note in your journal. Remember that to interpret dreams, we need of the law of number, the law of philosophical analogies, and the law of opposites. And of course, of the law of correspondences. Very well. So dear friends, this has been our practice tonight. The practice with the development of the faculty of telepathy. Now, if any of you were to have any questions, you guys are welcome to press the talk now button on your screen. You should be able to hear what you say. Very well. So if there are no questions, dear friends, thank you so much for joining us this evening. May all beings be happy. Have a good night.